And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday, September 25th. Temperatures outside in the 70s. It's a beautiful day. Cold front has swung through. That has shifted our winds to the north, so a little breezy out of the north. But all in all, not a bad day for this time of the year when we should be in the 60s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Another beautiful late September day. This is great for getting ready for harvest, or for those that are already starting to harvest, you can't beat this weather.
I saw a number of combines just this morning. I was over in Newland, Minnesota for a video shoot with Thor Buildings, one of our sponsors for our Here We Grow project. And yeah, it was a morning where folks were getting right into position. There are still a lot of corn rootworm beetles flying around out there.
Those little suckers, do they bite?
Now, there's a couple different things. So the ones that look like a ladybug,
right,
those are Asian beetles. Okay, those little lady Asian beetles, they are moving out of the soybean fields because the soybean fields are drying down. So they're looking for a new host, maybe you. So they do bite. They do bite.
Okay.
They tend to overwinter in shelter belts on a plant called buckthorn. So they're just on their way to look for it.
So they stay up here over the winter?
They do.
Oh.
Yes, they will. Now, the corn rootworm beetle is new. We have not necessarily had that problem until recently. In fact, I saw some corn plots down by Leonard and Sheldon, North Dakota, where there was a lot of damage that was unexpected this year.
Interesting.
Okay. So between that, anthracnose, potentially southern rust as far north as South Dakota's north central region, we could see a lot of things impacting crop. But we've got this weather that's helping build tonnage for our sugar beets, and we're hoping for a nice harvest.
Yes, and the weather's going to cooperate here over the next week before we start to see some minor changes. But today, a beautiful day, sunny skies, north winds at about 10 to 20 with highs in the mid-70s. Down into the mid-40s tonight, a beautiful sleeping weather night if you want to keep those windows open. Might be a little chilly for some. And then Friday, winds ramp up out of the south, 10 to 25. But that warms us up to about 80 with sunny skies. Sunny skies through the weekend. Beautiful weather for homecoming on Saturday, or tailgating, or both, with temperatures in the mid-70s.
Both.
Yes, exactly. A little breezy over the weekend. Northwest on Saturday and south-southeast on Sunday. We'll warm it up into the low 80s on Sunday. We'll end the month next week in the low 80s. Unbelievable. And our next chance of rain doesn't come until Tuesday night or Wednesday of next week. So a pretty decent looking forecast. And this forecast is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists.
That rain that's in the forecast is going to make things a little bit dirty. And the new Coral Laundromat is open and running. It's over there on Veterans Boulevard. So if you have area rugs in your shop, your mudroom, etc., that might need a place to get washed up, you can take them to the laundromat. You can either drop them off or do them there yourself.
And this would be the time of the year to get that done, right?
This would be the time of the year to get a lot of that done. Also today, interestingly enough, we have one of our assistant ag directors joining us in studio. And that person is here today, sponsored by Cass County Farm Bureau. Cass County Farm Bureau does a tremendous amount of work in the region. They especially spend time working on ag education. That's one of their pillars. And for Cass County Farm Bureau, they not only provide scholarships, but they do trophy and awards at the Red River Valley Fair and so much more. But why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, Allison?
Hi, my name is Allison Smith. I've grown up on a farm outside of Wolverton, Minnesota. I've been in 4-H since I was little, and I joined FFA in 7th grade. I'm going into my senior year of school now. I am currently serving as the Region 1 president, so I'm heavily involved in FFA. My passion is agriculture. I work on our farm. I love showing my pigs. If I have a hobby, it's probably in agriculture. So just everything. That pretty much encompasses me, yeah.
And Allison, what do you do on your farm? You said you help out on the farm.
Yeah.
Everything?
Everything, yeah. I mean, from day to day, I've done some building some pallets this summer for our hay. That's what we set it on. I've worked in the field. We cut hay. A harvest is coming up, right. So.
All of those things. And you've you're not just working on farm. One of the things that you do through 4-H and FFA is also making sure that you have extra off-farm placement, if you will, like the supervised ag programs. You can be doing that with your hogs. Some students work off-farm. You've done that. You just recently finished an internship, if you will,
yes,
with Titan Machinery.
Yes. So I started with Titan last November after harvest again, and I worked there for 10 months. I quit beginning of August to come back to work harvest, but I got to work a little bit in the parts department. I didn't really find interest in that, but I went back to the service and repair department working on tractors and quadracks and sprayers. Lawn mowers too.
Yeah, a little of everything there.
Yeah. And that was a super fun experience for me. I enjoy getting my hands dirty. So,
did you figure out that mechanics are maybe a part of the place where your heart lies?
Definitely.
Okay.
Who knew?
You don't know until you pull a transmission.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's an okay thing. So one of the things that we have our interns do is not only is going to be working with us with our guests a little bit later today, but we talk about some of the things that are in headlines. And one that we were talking about just before we came into the studio today was a way to reduce methane in dairy cattle. And it's the use of a feed additive called 3-NOP. And I can summarize it, but Alice, I'm going to ask for some of your thoughts on it. When you read this article, what are some of the highlights that you think people should know about this potential methane additive or a feed additive to reduce methane?
Well, I think that it says that it cuts anywhere from 28% to 30% of methane, which it's heavily important and it looks very good. It's sustainable. But it also cuts your milk production and how much you're going to get, which is a huge problem and can become financially an issue.
So there's my trade-off, right? I can reduce the methane emissions per cow, but it also lowered my yield, so to speak, because it reduced my milk production. So what's the thing that I really want, maybe, as a dairy producer, is a bigger question.
Mm-hmm.
I found it interesting that it was approved through 70 different countries across the globe. It was developed in the Netherlands, and work is being done, particularly with University of California, Davis. Dr. Frank Mittenmeier does a tremendous amount of work there. He's an animal agriculture professor. They are studying to see, does it make any changes in the meat or the milk? At this point, it's been told, no, we don't think so. And it probably doesn't. But yet, one of the last paragraphs in that article said that as a human putting the feed additive into the dairy ration, it can cause irritation to your eyes, your skin, and you should not inhale or ingest it. Well, first of all, stop eating the cow's feed. They're hungry too. That's number one. Let's not do that. But two, what's in there that's an irritant to us but not to a dairy animal? That's unusual.
Well, and maybe they will argue, well, look at the pesticides that we spray on our crops. Obviously, we shouldn't be touching that or inhaling right. that, but it's okay for the crops. So are they kind of balancing it out like that?
I think it's a good point that you make. One of the things that I learned at NDSU in one of my crop and weed science classes was the pure active ingredient of a number of products, let's say Tordon, which is active ingredient is picloram. You can actually ingest a certain amount of that. I wouldn't recommend that we're doing shots on the weekends of picloram, but then it passes through your body in such a way and so quickly that it doesn't leave a residue in you. So as my professor said, thank you, Dr. Messersmith, you can drink the shot, but if you pee on leafy spurge, it's dead. So that's an interesting point of spot spraying.
So Beano for cows.
It's kind of like Beano for cows.
And is this in trial right now?
It's fully approved.
It
FDA
is.
Approved to be used in dairy animals, not in beef.
But is it being used already here in the U.S.?
In California dairies.
Okay.
In California in 2016, there was a mandate that was brought out that said by the year 2030, methane emissions had to drop by 40% on dairy farms in California. And California is our number one state for dairy production. What did we miss? What other points did you have about it, Allison? Do you recall?
Well, it's just like the financial burden of it to even, it's a feed additive, right? So
right.
it costs farmers that, and then not only it's going to lower your yield. So without getting any extra money for it, I know that it looks good and it's more sustainable, but can farmers really do it, especially your smaller farms?
And I'm a big proponent of saying the fact that, yes, I understand methane can be a hazard for us as far as a greenhouse gas, so can CO2, et cetera. And but I don't think cows are our biggest problem.
Allison's got a good point. So it's going to cost more for the farmers to put this in. Are the farmers, or is this a proposal, will the farmers get a kickback from the government? Will they get some kind of reimbursement?
Remember, all that climate money has started to go away. So a lot of those conservation measures that we have been seeing in the last government administration have really ratcheted down, and we're not getting nearly what we saw for the climate dollars that we once did.
Is this going to become mandatory?
It is not mandatory. California has certain rules, and don't they always?
They always do.
But it is not a mandatory feed additive. It is simply part of people's overall goals to try to reduce emissions.
So I'll play devil's advocate. If I'm a farmer and I'm going to lose production of milk, you know, who knows why would I use it?
I personally speaking, I think I would have to see the ROI per cow.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it could reduce your benefit on your animal.
It really does. That's what I read. I mean,
and I don't think we know enough. Could it depend on the age? Is it more effective depending on the age of the animal too? That could help you determine some of the cull cows you would want to get rid of.
Interesting.
So it is an interesting topic. There's a lot of sides to this.
There really is.
And there's plenty more interesting topics that we want to cover today. We're going to be joined by our guest from Valley Christian Counseling. Crystal is here. Well, one of the reasons we are going to have that discussion is because September is Suicide Awareness Month, and we want to raise the awareness of what's going on within the ag community. We have seen a tremendous increase in suicides in the last 6 weeks in several states, and they were all farmers. And we're going to talk about the why, the preventative measures, what Valley Christian Counseling can do to help our farm community. It's not just the farmers, the ranchers, those who are involved in the production of ag. And we'll do that when we return. This is that time of the year where we're waiting to harvest and waiting for that cash flow to improve while we take our crop in to sell. And it's also the time of the year that scammers are out there watching. They're watching your email. They're wanting to make sure that they can find your business information and try to take their unfair share. If you'd like to avoid that, have a conversation with Chris Sherman at Tech Support Farm. He will make sure to protect you. And if something nefarious should happen, he can help you work through the problem on the back end. Throughout our conversation today, you are welcome to join us by calling the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. We'd love to hear from you. We have great folks in the studio today to ask questions, and maybe you want to join us as well. As I mentioned earlier, every Thursday in September, we are focusing on suicide prevention for the month of September. That's a primary focus here. Thank you to the sponsors who have been a big part of this endeavor: Prairie St. John, Gowan USA, Maple River Grain and Agronomy. And we are joined in studio today by one of those sponsors, Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. And Crystal, is it Dunham?
Mm-hmm.
Dunham is joining us. So Crystal, go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me today. My name is Crystal Dunham. I am a licensed professional clinical counselor at Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness. And I work with teens and adults on mental health, a lot of depression, anxiety, self-esteem, and trauma kinds of things. And so I'm really excited to be on the show today and hopefully share some wisdom.
That would be awesome. Probably the first question is, do you think you're seeing folks that farm or are associated in agriculture coming in more often than maybe when you first started practicing?
Oh, that's a great question. I think in general, we're seeing an increase in requests since I started practicing. I've been in practice for 13 years, and I've seen a significant increase in the amount of time. We keep bringing more staff on, and there's calls coming in, and there's more need for mental health services, which I think is amazing that people are choosing to take steps to care for their wellness and their mental health.
Allison, you're involved in the farm community. There's some stressors out there, even from your perspective as a high school senior. Any that come to mind?
Long hours, market uncertainty, unpredictable weather, and isolation. I mean, when you're out there by yourself in the cab all day long, and there's nothing to do.
So some of those things probably, Crystal, lead right to your thoughts of, there's reasons for the growth in anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of stress that's going on in the farm community, but I mean, in general, there's just a lot of places that feed stress, anxiety, worry, uncertainty in the world today, for sure.
And Crystal, do you see it more now with the, let's say, with the economy not the best for our ag community? Do you see more people coming in, reaching out? Or, I mean, I know our ag community very proud. I mean, farmers are very proud, and maybe they're afraid, you know, to seek help. Are you seeing more of that though recently?
More people coming in?
Yes.
I would say so. Yeah. And I think what's really great is there's lots of different ways people can get help. So you can certainly come into the office, but also now we have telehealth services, which is a great opportunity for people to get connected and get the support they need if they're a little hesitant about coming in the office or maybe their vehicle being seen in the parking lot.
Right.
You know, especially in some of those more rural, small town areas. So there's lots of options, and I hope that helps people feel welcome and able to feel confident in getting the care they need.
I know this might sound like a simple question, but what are some of the signs to look for?
For depression?
Yes.
Or, yeah?
Yeah. For depression or, you know, yeah, basically depression, which could lead to other things as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think a couple of the really key symptoms you want to look for depression, the first, there are two, which would be lack of interest or pleasure in doing things. And that could be everyday stuff that you normally do. You're like, oh, it's such a hard thing to get myself out of bed, get myself doing the things I need to do, or even things that you once enjoyed, maybe hobbies, spending time with friends or family. And it's just like, you don't have any interest in those things. And maybe you make yourself do it, or maybe you avoid it altogether, but there's this just lack of interest or pleasure in life. Mm-hmm. And then second, those feelings of like sadness, hopelessness, or just weighted down. But interestingly enough, you don't need both of those kind of core feelings. You need only one or the other. It can be both, but one or the other. And so I think what's also interesting is when we think depression, a lot of times the image that comes to people's minds is sad, crying, laying in bed. And while that can be a presentation of depression, it's not the only one.
Right.
And so that lack of interest or pleasure, people sometimes miss that that's actually central to depression.
Would that be kind of one of the hidden signals?
Yeah, absolutely.
What would you do if, let's say, a wife gives you a call and says, hey, you know, my husband or my significant other, you know, I can tell something's not right, but I asked him if he wanted to go for help. He said, absolutely not. What do you do in that instance? I mean, it's up to the individual to go out and seek help. But let's say the significant other, the wife, notices those changes, but their significant other is not willing to do anything about it.
I think my first answer to that would be, one, why are they hesitant? You know, is it financial concerns, like the cost of care? Mm-hmm. Is it the time commitment? They don't feel like they can step away, or there may be a little shame or having a hard time putting that out there. Like, what is the actual cause? Because sometimes there's, again, easy fixes to that. You know, like if they're concerned about having their pickup truck that everybody knows
in the parking lot.
Right. Like, all right, would you be willing to try telehealth or, you know, something like that? But the other thing I would say is think about when you're really struggling. And what helps you feel the most seen, cared for, loved? I mean, it's not just telling them what they need to do, but meeting them in that place and saying, I've noticed this spark in you is not there anymore. I've noticed you withdraw. You seem disengaged. I don't see you laugh as much anymore. And kind of drawing them in, that you embrace them in that struggle. Like, I'm partnering with you in this. It's not just something you need to go fix, but I'm willing to walk alongside of you and see you in that. Because I think when we feel seen and valued, we might be a little more willing to take those steps.
Yeah. I do have a question for you, Crystal. A little while ago, you talked about different feelings, and you mentioned depression and anxiety. What's really the difference between the two?
Oh, good question. You know, I will just start out by saying there's a lot of overlap between the two. Mm-hmm. And a high comorbidity, meaning people have both of them at the same time. And so it can be a little tricky to pull it apart. Depression is primarily a mood disorder. And so, and those symptoms that I mentioned just a bit ago of lack of interest or pleasure in doing things, feeling sad, or hopeless, those tend not to be present in exclusively anxiety. So those are some different things you would notice. But some of the overlap you'd see would be like appetite, overeating, undereating, sleep problems, concentration problems,
psychomotor agitation or restlessness. Like, so there's a lot of things that you'll see similar. And one can kind of bleed into the other or cause the other. You know, you'll see sometimes high anxiety for a while, and then it'll kind of plummet down into depression.
Sure.
Okay. Kind of what goes up must come down. Like you're high stress and tense, and like your body just can't maintain that forever. That's not always the case, but can happen. And so it can be really challenging to pull them apart.
Yep. We're going to need to talk more about that. But first, we have news here at the bottom of the hour. When we return, we want to continue asking those questions because we want to reach out to those who may just need a little clarity to help decide, is it anxiety, depression? Because we certainly want to make sure that folks don't go any further than that, you might say. And we will do that when we return. Don't go anywhere. We custom farmed 20 acres of wheat this year. Already got it combined and taken off the field. Want to say a big thank you to Progressive Ag and Vision Ford. They were both sponsors for us to bring that crop to fruition. If you are looking to trade vehicles, maybe you're thinking you need a dependable college vehicle for someone, check out the selection at Vision Ford. And also, again, Progressive Ag, they are your risk management specialists here in town. We have with us today our assistant ag director. She is a bit of an intern for a day. That's Allison Smith, sponsored by Cass County Farm Bureau. And we're going to start questions for our guest today. Crystal is joining us from Valley Christian Counseling. We've got some questions over there, Allison.
I do. Many farmers, especially young farmers, spend hours a day in a cab. And when they're in that cab with nothing else to do, they tend to be on social media. While social media can connect people, it also can be a negative outlook, a lot of comparison and doubt and misinformation about farming's on there. Do you think this could be a cause in doubts?
Well, I mean, we can see in the research that high social media use is not good for mental health. I mean, a little bit here and there, not a problem. But when we're spending a significant amount of time doing that, we end up, walking away feeling maybe less than. We find ourselves comparing ourselves to each other, seeing their highlight reel and comparing it to our like real life, if you will. And so high amounts of that is not going to help your mental health. I would strongly encourage somebody to use that time in a different way. I mean, a little bit checking here and there, maybe not a big deal, but what would be some other things you could do? You know, maybe practicing some mindfulness or just listing off things you're thankful for, or grateful for, and recentering your mind on something life-giving or empowering would be a better use of your time than a lot of social media use.
Maybe playing some of your favorite music while you're in there to put you in a better mood.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. How about just changing your algorithm? Because face it, okay, I'm going to use TikTok as that example. And I'm not a big TikTok user, only because I'm too old for that, right?
Yeah, that's my app.
There you go. But I think when you start watching videos that are consistently a downer about the farm, about relationships, even when they're sometimes meant to be funny, I think that starts to wear on a person and you start to bring in that negativity that maybe we could do by changing up our algorithm even a little bit. So maybe that's another factor.
Yeah, that would help. And also thinking about how screens affect our brain, right? We get some dopamine from screens, but then when we try to put that away, the dopamine is coming down and that downer feeling makes us want more of it.
Yeah.
And so like neurologically speaking, the effects of screens affect our mood.
Tremendously.
Yeah.
So you just gave us a few tips and tricks, right? But do you have any more specific strategies? Maybe that would go more towards farmers who aren't necessarily wanting to put in the time to think about something that they're thankful for just because they're so busy.
Mm-hmm. So like things they might do in a combine specifically or just life in general? How do you build a life of wellness?
Life in general.
Okay, great. So one, just how we live our day-to-day life. Are we getting enough sleep? We see a connection between decreased sleep and increased anxiety or anxious feelings. The part of our brain that handles the positive things of the day gets affected by lack of sleep. And so if we can make sure we're getting good sleep, that sets us up for more success against anxiety. Exercise is really good for our mental health, physical health also.
Okay, and I want to add into that. I have a lot of farmers that will say, I don't have time to exercise. I'm on my feet. I'm running around all day. But the farmers that I work with that I know well through Twitter, et cetera, These guys make it a point to go out and they get that exercise. And they will tell you right off the bat, it is worth that time away from the farm, from the combine. You know, they set aside something in their shop. That really does help.
Yeah.
It's a different form of physical work. And it makes a difference.
Oh, it absolutely does. Yep. It's good for your body and your mental health. So you're really giving your whole body some good self-care by exercising. The other thing, too, is just diet. Like, what are we putting into our body? You know,
hey, I can't keep this sugar cookie figure without some of that stuff. Thank you. but you're right.
But, you know, are we being intentional about what we put in our body? Because what we put into our body, that's going to affect how it feels. And so being mindful of the food we put in our body, and also not related to sleep, exercise, and diet, but our social relationships. Mm-hmm. You mentioned kind of isolated on the combine, but social connection is huge. We are wired for relationship. And so also depression tends to make people want to isolate anyway. But what we want to do is the opposite of what depression tells us to do, which is isolate and disengage. We actually want to reach out. We want to get connected. Go see those friends. Plan a phone call. Like, talk on the phone to somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Choose connection over isolation.
Food. I'm going to go back to food. Because when we are busy planting, we're harvesting. What are you packing in the lunchbox, Allison?
Chips, snacks, anything in a bag that's easy to grab.
Right. Right. You know, a plethora of sandwiches.
Oh, yes.
But if we made slightly better decisions, we could probably feel a little bit better while we're in there.
Yeah. I mean, make a protein shake that you bring with you, or take a look at what those easy go-to things are. Could you grab some trail mix with nuts and dried fruit instead of potato chips, you know? Mm-hmm. There could be some easy switch outs. Or are you drinking water? Or are you drinking like lots of iced tea? You know, thinking about what is it that you're consuming too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That does make a difference. Just the amount of water that mm-hmm. that you can run through the body. When we think about how can people their first step at being helped, one that I asked this question to multiple farmers, and their honest answer was to be honest with your family doctor, yourself, or someone like you, Crystal, who's a counselor, because mm-hmm. you can't fix what you don't know.
Absolutely.
So that's probably their biggest piece of advice is the honesty. And hopefully when people mm-hmm. come in to see you, they're ready to be honest.
Yeah, I hope so. And if we can, it's amazing. We think that there's going to be maybe rejection or people are going to look at us different. But most of the time, actually, people are so glad that we were honest and that we feel more connected, because now that secret, if you will, is out there. And so it brings connection because we're talking about some of that hard stuff.
As an 18-year-old farm kid, Allison, do you find you and your friends are more open? Like, if somebody talks about anxiety and depression, that's not necessarily a shock or a stigma attached to it anymore?
I'm not so sure about that. I think it definitely depends on the person. Mm-hmm. I'll have friends that, sure, we'll talk about it. And I'll have ones that, you know, that's not who we are. We don't talk about it at all. So it kind of just depends who you're surrounded by. I've been in both situations. My feelings are mine and I don't really share them, which probably isn't the most healthy, but that's just
Crystal, we'll see you in the lobby later.
That's just how I operate, I guess. So. Sure.
One last question that I saw on the sheet for the discussion about Valley Christian Counseling, there was a mention of TMS therapy. Can you give us a quick summary of what that might be?
Yeah. So TMS stands for transcranial magnetic stimulation, and it is a treatment for treatment-resistant depression and OCD. And so non-invasive, good results helping people. So if they've tried medications and they're just not getting the results that they are looking for, that's another option that we are now offering at Valley. And it's been a great blessing.
What can you give us some of your other services, where people can find you, those types of things, Crystal? Because they may be listening and saying, you know, maybe I want to reach out, or I know someone that I want to point in that direction.
I'd love to. So what a gift. At Valley, we have really added a lot of different services because we want to treat the whole person, mind, soul, body, and spirit. So we want to offer anything we can to meet every aspect of what somebody might be going through. And so We have medication management. We have counseling, which is, you know, my area. We have occupational therapy. We have a PT on staff. We have the TMS, as we mentioned before. And so just a lot of different services available based on the need that you have. If you're interested in learning more, I would encourage you to go to our website, which is valleychristian.co, and or you could Google us, Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness Fargo, and we'll come right up. But you can see all the providers. You can see all the services we offer. You could read bios if you're kind of wondering, you know, who might be a good fit for me. Also, our front desk care coordinators are amazing, and they're so great at getting people the right fit and connection based on your needs and availability and those sorts of things. And they would just be so happy to help you. And we would be so excited if you would take that step and join us on your journey.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Crystal, and for being a part of this awareness campaign for the month of September.
Yeah, I'm so glad when we bring awareness to mental health because it can save lives.
Every day.
Yep. Thanks, Crystal. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet. Well, when we come back, we'll have a recap on the weather, and Bridget and Allison will you got a couple of ag topics to go over when we come back, don't you?
We got things.
All right, perfect. All right, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, Thursday, September 25th, 1:52 in the afternoon. And we've got Tom on line one. Tom, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. You have a question for Bridget.
Yeah, so hey, Bridget. Say, just real quick. So you were talking about the feed, the additive to cut down on methane.
Yep.
So if there's a need to reduce methane, is it cost prohibitive for farmers to put in a methane, something they can use the methane for heat or something on the farm instead?
So new dairies that are going in, et cetera, they do have methane digesters. And yes, you can use methane. In fact, I believe it was New Holland 2 years ago was working on a tractor that's a smaller horsepower. It was orchard sized in vineyards that would actually run on methane gas.
So they capture the methane?
They capture the methane and can use it as a fuel.
How?
Look, I'm not the one running the capture. But when you don't think about getting it off the cow. You think about getting it off like the manure pits or the lagoons.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
So is this real expensive then for the smaller producer, especially like organic farmers? Is this really expensive?
I couldn't answer that exactly. I think your definition of what's expensive is what you'd have to follow here. You know, does it make sense to them? Do they get a return on that investment because they can sell at a higher price, et cetera? So retrofitting farms is probably not out of the question. We were certainly doing a lot more of that during the Biden administration because we had all of those climate dollars available, but they've really ratcheted down in this new year. So I don't think we see quite as many of them available. Does that answer it, Tom?
Oh, sure does, Bridget. Thank you very much.
Hey, no problem at all. Glad to. Okay, we're going to switch. We're going to talk about sheep. So, Allison, do you want to mention the highlights of the story about the sheep simulator?
Sure.
Okay.
From what I know, what the headline was that it was at the South Dakota State Fair, and kids were practicing as well as adults. So basically, it's a simulator that allows people to practice malpresentations like tangled legs or breached births in sheep. It's just for any sort of dystocia going on.
And so literally, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Sheep they're the animal that is, they're not bright and things happen. But when they're trying to lamb, you have a high fatality rate in lambing, and it's crazy. So one of the things that the folks in South Dakota are trying to do is have this simulator so that if you have to help with lambing, you can figure out, is this lamb breech? Do we have to turn them? What do we have to do? And you can literally put the lamb inside the sheep on this simulator, and it's a physical item, and you can manipulate that lamb so you can, you know, try to figure out how is best to handle this. And so you're not trying to do it on a live animal.
Right.
So actually, I thought it was a good idea. A little bit of education.
I did too. I think it's a great example. And I mean, any age can do it clearly. And whether you're taking one lamb or multiple, they even said, it gives you real life
experience.
Examples.
Yes.
Which can help anybody.
Because when you're in the heat of the moment and that lamb is, or that sheep is in distress and you're trying to get that lamb out, this is a way to say, okay, I've done this before.
You're thinking what you know, not what you don't.
Now, you raise show hogs.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you ever had trouble when it's time for that? Do you have sows, first of all?
I do not, but okay. I have a friend that I've helped a few times.
So you've had to help out when it's time for the piglets to arrive?
Yes.
Any complications?
Yeah, this year was a pretty difficult year.
Okay.
I actually sold her my hog, and then she bred it, and I was there just because I wanted the experience.
Okay.
The sow did end up passing. She had two piglets before that. Those went to another mom and survived for the show season. However, it was a difficult birth. They were stuck.
Oh, yeah.
There was some extra skin in there, and we didn't know how to get around it. And unfortunately, the vets in our area aren't trained in C-sections and kind of refuse, saying, we don't know how to do it. We don't want sure. that on us.
And the truth is, veterinarians can specialize the same way humans do in different aspects of medicine. And if you don't have large animal vets that are familiar with hogs, you don't necessarily have quite the backup that you need for it.
Right.
A little easier with horses, a lot of cattle, and more so in this region. You were part of the birthing center at the at Minnesota State Fair.
Yes.
How did that go?
I worked at the CHS Miracle Birth Center for the first 4 days. It was a good experience, I'd say. I mean, we had two sows go into labor. One of them got very distressed.
Oh, yeah.
So she was a couple days past her due date, so they induced her. Medical grade veterinarian team.
Oh, yeah.
They were on it.
There's a great team at that birthing center. Yes.
So they induced her, and it was still a really rough birth. She had, I think it ended up being 19 assisted piglets, and she got very aggressive, and it was a rough time. Yeah.
They do. And this is a live animal situation. There are spectators watching. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was about to deliver 19 piglets, I might get sort of stressed myself.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, it seems like a lot of pressure right there.
Yeah.
But it's hogs, it's sheep, it's beef and dairy animals.
Oh, yeah. The Miracle of Birth Center, they have chickens, turkeys, rabbits, hogs, goats, sheep, dairy cows, beef cows. You name it, they probably got it in there.
Those rabbits come out of a hat?
Not quite.
I just thought I'd ask. See, this is why we need to have those types of situations, so folks can see that and ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not as a Disney World as someone might think.
No, not at all.
It's a little messy.
But if you, going back to this lambing dystocia thing,
You got like 15 seconds, hon. Finish her out.
I think if you put them in the barns, it'd be very useful for people.
Yeah, I think it would be at a fair, etc.
All right. We want to thank everybody for joining us here on Weather and Ag and Focus. Don't go anywhere. Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.